Greetings, friends, and welcome to the Beach Church Podcast. This is the podcast for Sunday, April 13th, the year of our Lord, 2025. And this is Palm Sunday. This is the beginning of the week that the church sets aside and names as holy. It's a joy to welcome you here together. It's good to be back behind the podcast microphone. I've been away for a few weeks. I've been here, but very busy with things in congregational life. But it is a true joy to be back here at the beginning of Holy Week with you, and that we can set aside some time today and each and every day this week to consider the stories of this week, to pray over them, to read the scriptures, to sing the songs and sit in silence, to recognize that this is not just the week of April 13th. Indeed, this is Holy Week. So let's begin how we begin here, celebrating the gift of life. So let's do that. Let's breathe. Take in a big breath. Hold on to it. Thank God for it. And let it go. And take in another deep and beautiful breath. This is the gift of life. A gift from God Almighty. Savor it. And as you breathe and as you give thanks, call to mind the people and the places and the situations and the settings, the things that are beautiful and true and worthy and lovely. These are the gifts of God. Perhaps open your arms wide and turn your face toward the sky. Thank you, God, for it all. And in this posture, in this spirit, let's begin together in worship. Let's join together in the call to worship as printed in the digital bulletin. You can find that bulletin to the left of where you found today's podcast, just below the line there where it says sermon notes. You click in there and the bulletin will come up for you. Let's begin. Let us prepare our hearts to commemorate Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem, remembering his humble arrival. He came not as a conqueror, but as a servant. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. The people honored Jesus as their King. Let us commit ourselves to follow Jesus with our lives. We offer our lives as a path for you, O Lord. May our actions reflect your love and justice in the world. Let us worship God and live as citizens of his kingdom. Hosanna, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Thank you.
Our first gospel reading today comes from Luke's gospel in the 19th chapter, verses 28 through 40. This is Jesus' entrance into Jerusalem. After he had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he had come near Bethphage and Bethany, at the place called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, "Go into the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' just say this, 'The Lord needs it.'" So those who were sent departed and found it as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, "Why are you untying the colt?" They said, "The Lord needs it." Then they brought it to Jesus, and after throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. As he rode along, people kept spreading their cloaks on the road. Now, as he was approaching the path down from the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the deeds of power they had seen, saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven." Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, order your disciples to stop." He answered, "I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out." This is the word of God for the people of God, and we give thanks to God for it. Let's join together in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the gift of this, your good and living word. Thank you for the gift of this week that we call holy, as we celebrate, remember, and enact your good word. So we pray that you'd meet us here, O God, right in this moment, right here and right now, this time and this place. Bless us with a true sense of your presence. Open our ears and our minds and our hearts. Save us from misinterpretation and distraction and busyness and the stuff of life, so that we could truly hear the good news of Jesus Christ. We pray this in your holy name, and we say, Amen. Well, my dear friends, grace and peace to you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm going to break from my traditional format, and what I'd like to do today, I have some notes regarding Jesus' return, entrance into Jerusalem. But then for the bulk of this time, I'm just going to read the narrative of what happens after that entry. Today we gather with palms, or the thoughts of palms. In worship this Sunday, we'll be waving palms and we'll be echoing the joy of the crowd that welcomed Jesus into Jerusalem. And we'll join them in their cry, "Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord." But we also gather with an awareness that this same road will lead to a hill called Golgotha. This day, this moment that begins with cheers, will end in silence. What starts with cloaks and branches will end up with nails and a cross. There are several resources I always go to at this time of year. One of them is a book called The Last Week. It was written by Marcus Borg and John Dominic Crossan. It's a wonderful historical critical analysis of this last week. It describes how Jesus' entry into Jerusalem was not simply a festive moment. It was a deliberate, prophetic act of protest. On the same day Jesus entered from the east, Pontius Pilate would have entered from the west, presiding over the imperial military procession, a show of Roman dominance during the volatile Passover festival. And so you have two processions, two kings, two visions of the world. Pilate rides a war horse. Jesus rides a colt. Pilate brings soldiers. Jesus brings peace. Pilate represents Caesar's power. Jesus proclaims the kingdom of God. And so on Palm Sunday, we have a challenge. Which procession are we in? We march in the way of Rome and empire, or do we follow in the way of the one who comes in the name of the Lord? This is one of our points to consider and pray over during the week ahead. This journey was always toward the cross. If you consider the story of Jesus from the moment that he turns his face toward Jerusalem at the end of Luke in the 9th chapter, you know that he knows that this is the moment that he had foretold. And from that moment in Luke 9:51, from that point forward, everything in Luke's gospel moves toward this moment. Not the moment of glory, but the moment of passion. Jesus had wept over the city, crying out, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it." He knew what waited for him. The palm branches were laid not in ignorance of danger, but in full awareness that this king would wear a crown of thorns. Another writer, scholar that I lean on at this time of year is N.T. Wright, Tom Wright, brilliant New Testament scholar and theologian. N.T. Wright emphasizes Jesus' kingship is not symbolic. It is real, and it is costly. His coronation will be a crucifixion. His throne will be a cross. Wright says Jesus was not dying as a martyr caught up in a tragic end. He was enacting the victory of God's love over the powers of sin and death. And it all begins with this public, provocative, and profoundly misunderstood entry. Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest heaven. All of the anticipation that is in every shout in the eyes of those who are there, those who have heard of or experienced firsthand the miracle working, the brilliant teaching and preaching, and the countenance, the loving and gentle countenance of the man. This crowd shouts, But Jesus does not bask in their praise. Luke is the only gospel writer who tells us what happened next. As he came near and saw the city, he wept over it. Why? Because he knew their excitement would fade. Their hosannas would turn to crucify him. Their hopes were for a Messiah of might, not a suffering servant. Yet another one of my favorite scholars, particularly at this time of year, Raymond Brown, in his work, The Death of the Messiah, helps us see that the Passion begins not on Good Friday, but right here. In this moment, Jesus is not caught off guard by the events of Holy Week. He embraces them fully, freely, and faithfully. Even as he enters Jerusalem to shouts of praise, he knows the city will reject him. He knows the cross is coming, and yet he rides on. When the Pharisees tell Jesus to quiet the crowd, he replies, "If these were silent, the stones would shout out." The earth itself recognizes the arrival of its true king. All creation knows what's at stake here, and so should we. Palm Sunday is not a detour from the cross, it is the on-ramp. It's the beginning of the final confrontation between the powers of this world and the power of God's love. So what do we do with this? We follow. Not just in celebration, but in the cost. We follow Jesus not only in the crowd, but in the garden. Not only with palms, but with prayer. Not only in hope, but in heartbreak. And we ask ourselves, are we following Jesus, the Jesus of the parade, or the Jesus of the cross? Are we willing to walk the road of suffering love, of servant leadership, of courageous truth? N.T. Wright says, "Jesus is not a king like the world has ever seen. He comes not to crush, but to carry, not to conquer by force, but to be conquered by love." Today we have our palms, or the memories of the times that you've been in worship and you waved the palms, and you join in songs of praise. But we also let our hearts be pierced by what is to come. Because this king does not rule from above, but from among us. He does not come to take power, but to give life. Let us walk with him all the way to the cross and beyond it into the resurrection life that awaits. Or we can say, "Hosanna, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord." Amen. And so I've shared my sermon notes with you, really. And what I want you to do with those is just hold them loosely. And I want you to listen. Listen to the story of the Passion and the death of Jesus as told in Luke's gospel. We'll be reading from chapter 22, verse 14, through chapter 23, verse 56. Let's begin. "When the hour came, he took his place at the table and the apostles with him. He said to them, 'I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God.' Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he said, Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." Then he took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And he did the same with the cup after supper, saying, "This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. But see, the one who betrays me is with me, and his hand is on the table. For the Son of Man is going as it has been determined, but woe to the one by whom he is betrayed." Then they began to ask one another which one of them it could be who would do this. A dispute also arose among them as to which one of them was to be regarded as the greatest. But he said to them, "The kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those in authority over them are called benefactors. But not so with you. Rather, the greatest among you must become like the youngest, and the leader like one who serves. For who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one at the table? But I am among you as one who serves. You are those who have stood by me in my trials. And I confer on you, just as my Father has conferred on me, a kingdom, so that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom. And you will sit on thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Simon, Simon, listen. Satan has demanded to sift all of you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your own faith may not fail. And you, when once you have turned back, strengthen your brothers." And he said to them, "Lord, I am ready to go with you to prison and to death." And Jesus said, "I tell you, Peter, the cock will not crow this day until you have denied me three times." He said to them, "When I sent you out without a purse, bag, or sandals, did you lack anything?" They said, "No, not a thing." He said to them, "But now, the one who has a purse must take it, and likewise a bag. And the one who has no sword must sell his cloak and buy one. For I tell you, this scripture must be fulfilled in me." And he was counted among the lawless, and indeed what is written about me is being fulfilled. They said, "Lord, look, here are two swords." He replied, "It is enough." He came out and went, as was his custom, to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples followed him. When he reached the place, he said to them, "Pray that you may not come into the time of trial." Then he withdrew from them about a stone's throw, knelt down, and prayed, "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done." Then an angel from heaven appeared to him and gave him strength. In his anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like great drops of blood falling on the ground. When he got up from prayer, he came to the disciples and found them sleeping because of grief. And he said to them, "Why are you sleeping? Get up and pray that you might not come into the time of trial." While he was still speaking, suddenly a crowd came, and the one called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. He approached Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said to him, "Judas, is it with a kiss that you are betraying the Son of Man?" When those who were around him saw what was coming, they asked, "Lord, should we strike with the sword?" Then one of them struck the slave of the high priest and cut off his right ear. But Jesus said, "No more of this." And he touched his ear and healed him. Then Jesus said to the chief priests, the officers of the temple police, and the elders who had come for him, "Have you come out with swords and clubs as if I were a bandit? When I was with you day after day in the temple, you did not lay hands on me. But this is your hour and the power of darkness." Then they seized him, led him away, bringing him in to the high priest's house. But Peter was following at a distance. When they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat among them. Then a female servant, seeing him in the firelight, stared at him and said, "This man also was with them." But he denied it, saying, "Woman, I do not know him." A little later, someone else, seeing him, said, "You are also one of them." But Peter said, "Man, I am not." Then about an hour later, still another kept insisting, "Surely this man also was with him, for he is a Galilean." But Peter said, "Man, I do not know what you are talking about." At that moment, while he was still speaking, the cock crowed. The Lord turned and looked at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, "Before the cock crows today, you will deny me 3 times. And he went out and wept bitterly. Now the men who were holding Jesus began to mock him and beat him. They also blindfolded him and kept asking him, "Prophesy, who is it who struck you?" They kept heaping many other insults on him. When day came, the assembly of the elders of the people, both chief priests and scribes, gathered together, and they brought him to their council. They said, "If you are the Messiah, tell us." He replied, "If I tell you, you will not believe. And if I question you, you will not answer. But from now on, the Son of Man will be seated at the right hand of the power of God." All of them asked, "Are you then the Son of God?" He said to them, "You say that I am." Then they said, "What further testimony do we need? We have heard it ourselves from his own lips." Then the assembly rose as a body and brought Jesus before Pilate. They began to accuse him, saying, "We found this man inciting our nation, forbidding us to pay taxes to the emperor, and saying that he himself is the Messiah, a king." Then Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" He answered, "You say so." Then Pilate said to the chief priests and the crowds, "I find no basis for an accusation against this man." But they were insistent and said, "He stirs up the people by teaching throughout all Judea, from Galilee, where he began, even to this place." When Pilate heard this, he asked whether the man was a Galilean. And when he learned that he was under Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him off to Herod, who was himself in Jerusalem at that time. When Herod saw Jesus, he was very glad, for he had been wanting to see him for a long time because he had heard about him and was hoping to see him perform some sign. He questioned him at some length, but Jesus gave him no answer. The chief priests and the scribes stood by, vehemently accusing him. Even Herod, with his soldiers, treated him with contempt and mocked him. Then he put an elegant robe on him and sent him back to Pilate. That same day, Herod and Pilate became friends with each other. Before this, they had been enemies. Pilate then called together the chief priests, the leaders, and the people, and said to them, "You brought me this man as one who was inciting the people, and here I have examined him in your presence, and have not found this man guilty of any of your charges against him. Neither has Herod, for he sent him back to us. Indeed, he has done nothing to deserve death. I will therefore have him flogged and release him." Then they all shouted together, "Away with this fellow! Release Barabbas for us!" This was a man who had been put in prison for an insurrection that had taken place in the city and for murder. Pilate, wanting to release Jesus, addressed them again. But they kept shouting, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" A third time he said to them, "Why? What evil has he done? I have found in him no ground for the sentence of death. I will therefore have him flogged and release him." But they kept urgently demanding with loud shouts that he should be crucified, and their voices prevailed. So Pilate gave his verdict that their demand should be granted. He released the man they asked for, the one who had been put in prison for insurrection and murder, and he handed Jesus over as they wished. As they led him away, they seized the man, Simon of Cyrene, who was coming from the country, and they laid the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus. A great number of the people followed him, and among them were women who were beating their breasts and wailing for him. But Jesus turned to them and said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For the days are surely coming when they will say, 'Blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bore, and the breast that never nursed.' Then they will begin to say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if they do this when the wood is green, what will happen when it is dry?" Two others also, who were criminals, were led away to be put to death with him. When they came to the place that is called the Skull, they crucified Jesus with the criminals, one on his right, one on his left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they cast lots to divide his clothing. And the people stood by watching, but the leaders scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself, if he is the Messiah of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him. This is the King of the Jews. One of the criminals who were hanged there kept deriding him and saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed have been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." He replied, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." It was now about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. While the sun's light failed, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Then Jesus, crying out with a loud voice, said, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." Having said this, he breathed his last. When the centurion saw what had taken place, he praised God and said, "Certainly this man was innocent." When all the crowds who had gathered there for this spectacle saw what had taken place, they returned home, beating their breasts. But all his acquaintances, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance watching these things. And there was a good and righteous man named Joseph, who, though a member of the council, had not agreed to their plan and action. He came from the Jewish town of Arimathea, and he was waiting expectantly for the kingdom of God. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. And he took it down, wrapped it in a linen cloth, and laid it in a rock-hewn tomb where no one had ever been laid. It was the day of preparation, and the Sabbath was beginning. The women who had come with him from Galilee followed, and they saw the tomb and how the body was laid. Then they returned and prepared spices and ointments. On the Sabbath, they rested according to the commandment. This is the word of God for the people of God, and we give thanks to God for it. Heavenly Father, we come before you humbly and quietly with the words of Luke's passion story echoing in our ears. We pray for your comfort and your guidance. And we confess we are the same people that on one day can say Hosanna and a few days later be moved to say crucify him. You know us and our frailties, and we confess these to you. But we pray also that we could claim the promise of our faith that if we come to you and in all faith, in all contrition, come to you, that you will forgive us. And so in this moment, we claim your forgiveness. We pray, O God, over this good world of yours. We pray over the people who find themselves in positions of power and influence. Grace and peace. Anoint them with your wisdom and your vision, your compassion. lift up among them those who will glorify your name and live according to your word. And for those of us who don't quite see how we might have any influence or power, reveal to us the strength that you have given us. Help us to understand what it means when we hear you say that the last would be first and the first would be last, and that those who serve are actually the ones in positions of authority and power. Power that brings glory to your name. We pray you'd take a minute, God, to lean in and listen to the private petitions of our hearts as we take a moment to be quiet and simply share with you the joys and concerns that we are experiencing right now in this moment. Meet us here, we pray. We break our silence. We thank you for the gifts of peace and quiet. Help us to practice these gifts every day. And we pray, God, that you'll hear us as we say together the prayer that goes by your name. We know it in different ways, but hear us as we say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. So, my dear friends, I pray that as we prepare to go our separate ways, as we prepare for this holy week, I pray that we will be saved from busyness and distraction, that we will each take some time to sit in the presence of this story, the stories of this week, and allow them to inspire us, convict us, to change us. Change us to the glory of God, The God that we know in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, who walks with you this week and bids you peace. Go in peace. Amen.